There are so many fabulous faraway places to see, such as Mexico, Sweden, Hawaii, Japan, and Capri. There's so many exciting and wonderful places, mountains and jungles and desert oasis.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You are listening to thought-provoking talk on Dresser After Dark.
Stay there when there are so many fabulous faraway places to see. Why should Spain and Tahiti and Rio just be only names to you and me? I feel certain there's people...
Dr. Pamela Weibel with us, MD. She's the co-author of Goddesship, Women Leading for a Change. And she, as a matter of fact, she's a family physician born into a family of physicians, comedians, entertainers, and she's related to the Three Stooges. Raised in a morgue, she spent her childhood peeking in on autopsies, examining the human remains stockpiled all over her house. Introduced as a doctor in training by her dad, she was set loose on inmates, heroin addicts, and cadavers while most girls her age were playing with Barbies. Her parents warned her not to pursue medicine, but she followed her heart only to discover to heal her patients, she had to first heal her profession. And let us say, hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Pamela, let me ask you a question. When we talk about healing the profession, I go back long enough, far enough back when I remember the doctor came to the house with a little black bag and he was the family or she was the family physician. We don't have that today. Where do you think we went astray where there was that wall, and there is a wall between the patient and the doctor?
I think, Michael, when we started inviting third parties into the exam room, it damaged what I call the sacred relationship between the patient and the physician. The best analogy I can give, it's sort of like going to sleep at night with your spouse. You have a sacred relationship in your bedroom. You don't really want your CPA, your insurance agent, you know, and all sorts of other people in your bedroom with you at night. And that's sort of what's happened with healthcare. We've invited so many other extraneous people into the room that there's just not that same confidence and trust between the physician and the patient.
Pamela, isn't it a reversible cause and effect? And I've seen, and I'm not standing up for the healthcare industry, but there are so many doctors that have gotten sued. They have to do defensive medicine so they won't get sued. Malpractice costs go skyrocketing. And if those costs are there and the additional test costs are there, the money has to get, it has to come from somewhere. So obviously the prices are being raised. Now, the other side of that, we look at what's going on with the government and physicians today. There's a tremendous amount of youngsters out there that would be wonderful doctors, but they're scared of it. Look at the control.
Right, yeah, and I think that the answer is for us to just do a little mind shift and get out of this culture of mistrust that we've fallen into as a society and get back into human relationships with each other, because they found when you do that, amazingly enough, that physicians are not sued by patients who like them, no matter how much you've screwed up.
Yeah.
If the patient actually likes you as a person and feels that you tried to help them the best that you could, even if there was a horrible outcome, there's no way that patient would want to put you out of business, because they like you as a person. And when we're not able to have that human relationship with each other, everything goes awry.
Okay, but the concern is, and one of the things that you have in your press release, which I think is absolutely wonderful, and I love you for this, okay? It's what patients really want, you know, same day appointments, no time limits on visits, comfort while waiting, even bartering, you know, accepting everything from dog care to home baked bread that you've gotten. But the point of contention is how do you get other people to move into this? And it's a culture now that you're creating, into this culture when there are so many demands made on them.
Well, I think what happens is you have to get to a state of misery before you're willing to make a big change. And I think a lot of doctors have reached that point. I mean, that's what drew me into this. I was so miserable, I was literally almost suicidal. And that's what it took for me to have this major shift in my mind and come up with a creative solution. So a lot of doctors around the country have written me, and they're in the same boat. They're in this state where they're ready to give up their profession, a profession they love, and they don't really have necessarily a lot of the confidence or creativity, and they see another doctor has done something, like, for example, what I've done. It gives them hope that there's another way of doing things. And I think the more we have positive mentors showing the way, I think it just naturally snowballs, and people see that there's actually an answer.
Okay, let me say this without being political, because, you know, healthcare, whatever it's going to be. If the healthcare, whatever the healthcare is, I have no idea at this point, and I don't think most people do anyway, but whatever this healthcare program is, if that package is passed, does that not restrict doctors? Will that hold you back from being able to do what you want to do?
Well, not necessarily. If what they end up passing is something that simplifies what we have currently, it could make things easier. But a little bit of a fear I have is that the government-run programs that we have now actually do not fund primary care physicians at a level in which they can sustain their practices. Actually, 60 physicians who accept Medicaid, 65% of them lose money every time they see a Medicaid patient. 36% of physicians who accept Medicare, they lose money every time they see a patient. So, I mean, who would go into a business where you're actually paying the patient to come in?
No, absolutely. So. And I think that in and of itself is one of the aspects, one of the factors that the public at large really has no idea about. Because the doctors, and again, I'm going to go back to the kids that could be great doctors. They're going to look at it and say, I don't want this. I don't choose to go into something where I can't free flow and be. We started this country with you can be all you want to be, and if you're going to be a business person, you can be it. Even as a doctor in and of themselves, you're entrepreneurs. You're in business for yourself.
Right. Yeah, and I think it is really scary for physicians who want to go into primary care, which is, you know, the least well-paid specialty, people that want to just do generalist medicine, not a lot of procedures. But, you know, 99% of what my patients come in with, I can pretty much handle. But cognitive services are not reimbursed.
Yeah.
They reimburse at high rates, you know, surgical specialties and all of that. And if you want to have a lopsided healthcare system where you have a limitless number of specialists doing, you know, expensive procedures, that's sort of where we're going. And you devalue what people generally need, which is just a family doctor in their neighborhood who knows them and can head off these major catastrophes.
Well, everything is so expensive today. A trip to the hospital, my goodness. You know, you're talking maybe if you're in for a week, it could run $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, if not more, depending upon what kind of an quote unquote operation you do or you don't have. That's, I think, what the scary thing is. The cost to the patient is a problem. And then when it goes back to the doctor, it does not mean that the doctor's making all this money. My goodness, there's the pharmaceuticals, the this, the that, the cost of operation, staff, and all of these other variables that come into play. So both parties, both sides of the street here, the doctor and the patient, are getting hurt today.
Yeah, right, which is why we need to do what most Americans really believe needs to happen. In a poll, I think it was the CBS New York Times poll a few years ago, 90% of Americans felt that we couldn't just tweak the current system. We need to scrap it all and start again. And that's pretty much what I've done on a local level. Pretty much I've asked my patients to come and tell me what they want. As long as it's legal, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't mean I'm giving them drugs and they're all running around with narcotics. I'm just saying, let me do what the patient wants and not get into an adversarial relationship with the patient, which is what ends up happening when you have all these third parties in the way. You end up in an adversarial relationship, which is not at all healing.
Tell you what I would love to see. If I was the average guy on the street and I lost the job and one of my kids got sick, I would love to be able to come to you and say, well, my kid is sick and I'm frightened to death that something may happen to he or she. And I don't have any money, but darn it, I can tune up your car. I can do something. And that, when we mentioned barter before, if there is an element of that incorporated into it, man, does that solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, and it's actually wonderful because when you give of your spirit and there's no money transaction, it's really much better care. You know, I mean, when my patients trade for carpentry work, I've had better carpentry work done by one of my patients than I could have found and hired anyone in town to do. Because I took care of the guy during a divorce, he's so grateful for me, he'd pretty much do all the carpentry for my entire house for free.
Sure.
You know?
And that's the that community thing, that collaboration, that's something that we seem to be lacking. You know, nobody trusts anybody anymore, and that's the problem. Go ahead and have a flat tire somewhere on the street, let's say if you're a man, and see if somebody's going to stop and help you. In years gone by, yes, they did. Not today. That's where the problem is.
Yeah, so if we set an example, you know, just one physician, two physicians, one here and there, working from essentially an open-hearted position with their patients, you know, connecting with people on emotional, spiritual, physical level in like a complete human way. You know, a lot of people have forgotten how to be human.
Believe me, the H word doesn't go too far today. And I'm with you on that.
And that's what people want to pay for, by the way. People don't want all the fancy schmancy, can they get another MRI? If you're willing to be human with somebody for 5 minutes, they'll pay for that.
Yeah,
because
that's
what people really want.
Pamela, it goes back to the old mom-and-pop stores. You know, you went in and you loved them. They called you by your first name. They talked to you, asked you how your parents were, what was going on, how's it going in school. There was that human connection that we had. Today, you got the iPod and the whatever it is, pod and the texting and the rest of it. We are losing that human touch.
Right.
I've watched people text.
And where do you need it more than in healthcare? I mean, it's got to start in healthcare. I mean, on your deathbed, don't you want to have someone hold your hand and tell you that you mattered, that your life mattered? I mean, how is an iPod going to help you? How are all these gadgets? You don't need tubes and gadgets. You need people who you love to tell you that your life mattered and thanks for being a part of their life.
You know, by the way, it's something that everybody looks for. It's their own legacy. They don't have to be world famous, but just to know that they were remembered, or when they walk into some place, somebody knows who they are, and that's that identification, that's that identity. Hitler, during the Second World War, used identity to do what he did. You had Germany in the same problems that we had, economic. They were confused. Their cultures were mixed, and nobody had any common definition. And he used it because what he did was he gave them something that everybody strives for. Pamela, he gave them identity.
Right, a group to belong to.
That's it. Period, end. That's what he did. And you're saying the same thing. It's called fight fire with fire. You don't take a knife to a gunfight. You do what needs to be done. And if you do it that way and it starts to grow, we can have what we've basically, for the most part, lost.
Yeah, and it's amazing to me when I opened up to my community and I asked them, tell me what you want. People didn't want another MRI. They didn't want more tests. They wanted less tests. They wanted less drugs. They actually wanted to be with a human being.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted a doctor to be like a friend who also had doctor training. You know, to feel like you're going to a friend's house who happens to be a doctor. You know, that's sort of the ambiance they were looking for. So, I mean, it's amazing. It's very inexpensive to provide that type of care. I mean, actually, a study a few years ago revealed that 85% of all diagnoses could be made just from listening to the patient. Spend enough time with somebody, you could figure everything out without doing any expensive tests.
You know what? Why it would be tough being you right now?
Well, it's not tough at all.
No, wait, no. Let me tell you why it would be tough being you, because you can't be everywhere at one spot. You know, how are you going to move to Milwaukee so we can have you here and help somebody somewhere else?
Well, I think because so many doctors are interested in doing what I'm doing, I've trained people all over the country.
Wonderful.
You know, that's pretty much it.
Oh, so you are all over the country through somebody else.
Yeah, go to on my website. There's a map under Create Your Own Clinic, and you can see all the doctors in your region who are doing, you know, basically something similar, like neighborhood doctors running this sort of a similar practice.
www.idealmedicalpractice.org.
That's right.
Got that one. Okay. By the way, I really appreciate what you're doing. Where can we get Goddess Shift?
Oh, Goddess Shift.
Godless.
I think it's on Amazon.
Goddess Shift.
Yeah, Goddess Shift. And it's a book that I co-authored with 26 celebrities, Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey and Angelina Jolie. I was asked by the publisher if I would submit a chapter because they were impressed with this type of work that I'm doing.
Yeah.
So it was a really fun chapter to write, and it's available on Amazon, I believe, and a number of other places. Just, you know, they can Google Goddess Shift and find a number of spots, but yeah.
Wonderful. Love every second of it. Hey, Pamela, thank you so much for joining us. Good job, and we're going to stay in touch with you.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Good night.
Good night.
I can only give you love that lasts forever, and the promise to be near each time you call. And the only heart I own for you and you alone. That's all. That's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime, and a hand to hold when leaves begin to fall, and a love who's burning.